Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. This is Otto. Otto needs no introduction. I might, but Otto doesn't. I'm well aware of that. So this is Fireside Chat number 202. Notice I did not have to look at Megan and ask the number because I remember when we did 200, and it'll be interesting to see how long I keep the count correctly. You know, it's amazing, 202, which reminds me, every so often I remind myself to remind you, they're really not dated, even though sometimes my opening comments have been on something happening at that time. These are really not dated. So if you binge on the Fireside Chat, my opening comments, and then responses to questions that you send in, I think you'll benefit a great deal. There's a lot of important stuff said on any given Fireside Chat. So this is my home. This is my library, man cave, office, whatever you want to call it, where I smoke my cigars and do a lot of my writing. And I welcome you to this Fireside Chat. So I just returned a couple of weeks ago from Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic, which is now known as Czechia. I believe that is correct, Czechia. So before anything, I want to say a word about travel. And I've had a love affair with travel all of my life. I have been to 131 countries. I added one this trip, Slovakia. I'll talk about that in a moment. And last year, because of lockdowns, was the first year since I was 20 that I did not go abroad. And I missed it terribly. So for those of you who are hesitant about travel, forgetting COVID in general, hesitant about travel because of, basically, I think people are hesitant because of laziness. Because it takes effort to travel. There's no question. Packing is effort. Travel is an effort. Unpacking is an effort. Going to the next city is an effort. It's all an effort. And like everything else in life, no pain, no gain. It's just the rule of life. It's one of the ironclad rules. And whatever pain there is in travel, it is so worth it. I experience sort of, endorphins? The hormone of pleasure when I am especially in a foreign country. But I love traveling around the United States. I've been to all 50 states. I've spoken in 48, but I've been to 50. You know which two states I haven't spoken in? Both Dakotas. So if you're watching in North Dakota or South Dakota, I really do want to speak in your state, even though I've been to both states. But I do want to give a speech there. I gave a speech in Minnesota, a few miles from the South Dakota border. But I'm very honest. If I haven't been somewhere, and it can't be the airport. I do not count airports. Anyway, I love travel. So it was great to get back on the road. The reason I was in Hungary was I was invited to speak at a conference of young conservatives there, and because of PragerU and a lot of people familiar with me and with PragerU. For those of you in America who know, of course, of Tucker Carlson, he spoke on Saturday at this conference. I spoke on Friday. We had some time together. And anyway, it was magnificent. So a few thoughts. So here's a thought that I shared 3 years ago speaking in Romania, another Eastern European country. I know East Europe very well because that was my field of study. Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, that was my field of study. I was in all these countries when they were communist. And then I went back later. I've been to Hungary 5 times, twice under communism, 3 times after communism. So I have a real acquaintance with Hungary as it happens. And I spoke at this conference, and let me first say to those of you watching who were there, meeting all of you that I met, I didn't meet everybody, but I met, I would say, young people from about a dozen countries. It was an emotional high for me, being completely open with you. First of all, to be honest, to know that I've touched lives in different, all these different countries is wonderful. It means that all of my work in my life has had some fruition, come to some fruition. That's very important to me. But just the biggest reason it was so moving, that was one, I admit. There are a lot of young people who understand the threats to the Western world and freedom that are taking place now. You may feel you're alone, but you're not. That's why, by the way, it is so important, whatever your age, if you're 15, 25, or 85, you need kindred spirits in your life. I have spoken about this at Fireside Chats. I speak about this on my radio show regularly. You can't go through life without kindred spirits, people who share your concerns, your values. They don't have to share your hobbies. They don't have to share your taste in food, your taste in movies. They have to share your values. And being with such people is critical. I am blessed because of the nature of my public work. I have so many wonderful people in my life. It's a major source of strength in my life. He's still in bed. Yep. You never know. He's been getting up periodically, more frequently in the last few fireside chats. So you need kindred spirits. One way that you might want to consider if you are of high school or college age is join PragerForce. And if you are accepted and join, we have 15,000 people around the world, and you will meet spectacular people of your age, and that's a big, big boost. Okay, so something I said in Romania 3 years ago, and I repeat it again in Hungary. My theory is Eastern Europeans have a sort of inferiority complex vis-a-vis Western Europe. People think of Europe and they think of France, they think of Germany, they think of the United Kingdom, Spain, etc. And they don't think much of Poland, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Albania. I think I went through the Eastern European countries. But I told them in Romania, when I spoke there a few years ago, you will probably be the ones to save the West. You in the East. And they were shocked to hear that from someone from the West, so to speak. And I do believe that, and I believe that certainly again in Hungary, and I told them that. So that's one thing I wanted to share with you. Hungary has been attacked tremendously by the American press and the press in the rest of Western Europe because Hungary, among other reasons, is very nationalistic. They, for example, did not accept almost any refugees from the Middle East when Angela Merkel accepted 1 million into Germany, and other countries in the West felt that they had to do the same. And he was attacked tremendously by the rest of the European Union, that is, he being Orban, Viktor Orban, the president, or I think he's president, I think. I don't think he's prime minister, of Hungary. And along with that is a tremendous attack on the very notion of nationalism. So let me say a few words about nationalism. Like everything else in life, and I think pretty much everything else in life, it can be used for good or for evil. Can you name anything that can only be used for good? I'll give you an example. Love. You think, oh, love can only be used for good. That's not true. When I think of all the Germans who loved Hitler and all the Russians who loved Stalin and all the Chinese who loved Mao and who love him today, it's pretty obvious that love can be a vehicle to evil. Everything has to be moral. Everything. Love has to be moral. Nationalism has to be moral. Everything does. There's nothing that can only be good. Water. You need water to live, but people drown in water. So it's so simplistic to say, oh, I'm against nationalism. What does that mean? There's no such thing as good nationalism. There's only good internationalism. Well, I'm a big defender of good nationalism, meaning nationalism that is not used for evil, that is used to celebrate the national identity of any given nation. Whether it's American, I think it's a very healthy thing if Americans identify as American. If we don't, this country is going to break apart. It is breaking apart as it happens, because the left wants to break Americans into races and ethnicities. But I don't give a damn about race or ethnicity. Nationality in a nation is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for Hungarians to feel Hungarian and to celebrate Hungary and to celebrate their nation. Doesn't mean that you ever don't look at or ignore the bad things. That's absurd. I mean, I love my family, but I don't ignore any bad things that happens in my family. Is family a bad thing? If your first allegiance is to your family, are you bad? Then why, if your first allegiance is to your country, are you bad? Of course you have an allegiance to more than your country. If you have only to your country allegiance, then that's not good. But you start with your country, just as you start with your family. It's sort of concentric circles. I owe my family number one. I owe my community number two. I owe my nation number three. I owe the world number four. Of course, that's true. Part of the reason I don't think America should have left Afghanistan is because I care about Afghans. How's that? I really do. All these people who speak against nationalism and then say the hell with Afghans, right? So all these women are going to be raped. Oh, so all these men are going to be tortured. Oh, what do we care? What do we care about Afghans? I care. Nationalism is the celebration of your nation. And that you want to safeguard it and its identity is a good thing. I don't like big. Big is usually a bad idea. Big corporations do a lot of damage. Big labor unions do a lot of damage. Big international organizations do a lot of damage. Some do good. Of course, that's true. But by and large, damage. Many of you don't know, because you went to college and learned almost nothing. Many of you don't know about what happened in Rwanda. Was it in the 1990s? A true genocide of the Hutus massacring the Tutsis. Two different tribal groups. And you know one of the reasons it happened? Because they didn't have a Rwandan national identity. Nation helped tribes unite as opposed to being in conflict with one another. The nation is a very good thing because it can unite different ethnicities, different races, different tribes. That's one of the beauties of the nation. That's part of the reason they were created, was to have an allegiance to something more than just your tribe or just your family or just your kin. I don't think it's a good thing if people cede their authority in Europe to Brussels and the European Union. It is not a healthy thing. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Famous statement by Lord Acton. So the diffusion of power, just like in America. America was founded to give states great power, not the national government. It was a brilliant idea because the founders of America knew that if there's too much power in the national government, it will be suppressive of freedom in the states, which is exactly what's happening now in the United States. Same thing in Europe. The European Union sounds like a wonderful thing, but when all the nations of Europe cede their power to the EU, it is not a good thing. That's why Britain left with Brexit, which I thought was an excellent idea. So with all these attacks on Hungary because they celebrate Hungarian nationalism, I celebrate it too. I'm not Hungarian. I celebrate Czech nationalism and French nationalism. Why not? Is there bad nationalism? Hitler is the best example, but Hitler wasn't a nationalist as much as he was a nationalist, but he was primarily a racist. His concern was for the Aryan race more than even for the German nation. Racism is always evil. Always. An all-black dorm on a college campus is evil because it celebrates racial segregation. And who's for that? The Ku Klux Klan and the American left. Okay, that's my thoughts on nationalism and the trip. Oh, yes, yeah, so then I went to Country 131. I said to my wife about 6 months before the trip, I said, hey, guess what? Hungary border has a border with Slovakia. Now, to show you how honest I am about my country visits, many years ago I was in Czechoslovakia, but I was only in the Czech part. So I have never, when Czechoslovakia split into Czech Republic and Slovakia, I did not count Slovakia as one of my countries because I had only been to the Czech part. So sure enough, I rented a car, drove from Budapest to Prague, on the way Slovakia, which, by the way, I sort of fell in love with. I really had a wonderful time in Slovakia. It's a conservative religious country. It's not my religion, it's Catholic. But so what? It's part of the Judeo-Christian world that I want to see survive and thrive. And you know what? As much as I like the Czech Republic, and I had a great time there with supporters of PragerU, young people, I spoke to them too. I must say that I really found the Slovaks particularly friendly. And by the way, the Czechs agreed with me.
You can add that to your list of
countries.
Yeah,
I did. It was 131.
Your list of friendly countries.
I'm actually thinking of adding them. I have a sort of a list of five friendliest peoples, and I think I would put Slovaks on that list now. My wife and I spent an evening, 6 hours, with a Slovak priest, a 31-year-old priest who was in Hungary with us. And we had a magnificent time. I think he's going to visit us. I certainly hope he does. Anyway, for those of you who were at the conference, I had a great time with you in Budapest and look forward to coming back. Okie dokie, let's go to your questions. And here we go.
Hey, Dennis, I'm Paulus from Los Angeles, California. I'm Christian, but I see a lot of people saying that the church shouldn't be involved in politics, but increasingly now we're seeing that politics is seeping into the church. So I just had a quick question to see what you'd say to those people.
Yes, indeed, as I often say. Oh, that was a mistake. I'm going to get this down. It's going to take about 202 more fireside chats. So, Pavlos, as a rule, it's one of the most important rules of life. Everything the left touches, it destroys. And that includes Judaism and Christianity, includes late night comedy, includes sports, includes colleges, elementary schools, high schools, the arts. Everything the left touches, it is always destroyed. And not liberals, the left. Liberals build, conservatives build. And the left destroys. And that includes religion. As regards religion affecting society, I've never understood this notion that people cannot bring their religious values into secular government. I don't understand that. You can bring secular values into the government, but you can't bring your religious values. Martin Luther King in the United States was completely animated by his Christianity with regard to his struggle for civil rights in the United States. His speeches are infused with biblical verses. His belief that God created the human being in his image and that we are all one people is all biblical, just as mine are. Are you not supposed to bring that into society? This notion, we on the left, we can affect religion, but you who are religious cannot affect the left. or anything else in society is preposterous. Just preposterous. Of course, you should take your religious values into the secular arena. Otherwise, they're useless. If your religious values do not affect your life and how you see society, what good are they if they don't affect society? Now, that's not the same thing as your theology. And that's why America does have a difference. We don't have a national religion in the United States. But the idea that religion should not affect the United States is the most foreign doctrine. In God we trust is one of the three mottos of the United States of America. Okie doke. How you doing, Otto? I guess that answers the question. David, 36, Washington, D.C. I recently had a falling out with my eldest sister because I have a strong love of guns. And we're polar opposites on almost any subject. Yes, I'm an open conservative. How do you reconcile with someone whom you love deeply despite the stark differences? Second question, what are the best sections in the Bible that justify the right for self-defense? So I'll answer the last one first. You don't remember, I found the psalm, and I forgot the number. I knew I should have written it down.
Is it on your...
It'll take you a week to find it. It doesn't matter. I know the verse. Well, he woke up in order to yawn. This is a classic Otto moment. So I'll have to do it in Hebrew because I remember it in Hebrew, and then I got to translate it. God will give his people strength. God will bless his people with peace. So that verse from the Psalms is very interesting. God will give his people strength. God will bless his people with peace. A people that is not strong will not have peace. Weakness invites bullies on the personal level and on the national level. You must be strong. You must be able to take care of yourself. There is another phrase. This is not biblical, but it is based on the Bible in Exodus, and it is a very, very old Hebrew phrase as well. Normative Judaism, and that is, this I won't say in Hebrew, this I remember in English as well. Whoever comes to kill you, get up earlier and kill him. It's as simple as that. And Jews are hardly known for being violent. There is a very deep belief. You owe it to God and to yourself to protect yourself. Otherwise, you are letting the evil get away with murder, literally. It might be the murder of you, but that's still murder. The notion that you don't fight bad, my favorite verse in the Bible is, those of you who love God must hate evil. If you don't fight evil, you don't love God. How's that? So it's pretty clear that that's the way you're supposed to live. You should not initiate violence, but you must protect yourself. So I had a very wonderful talk by sheer chance just this past week. I have a niece who is gay, married to a woman. They have two kids. I love my niece. She loves me. And she knows that I've been very public about my belief that marriage should be between a man and a woman. But I love her wife. I call her wife. That's what she is legally, and I use the term. And I love my niece, my niece loves me. And we have, without great difficulty, figured out how to continue to love each other, though we may differ on any given subject. That's what family is for, is to have people that you love, even though you have differences. Now, if you have a family member who's evil, that's a separate issue. But I'm not evil and my niece is not evil. We're good people. And of course you should try and stay loving with your sister. One of the ways you might want to do that is don't talk about the things you differ about. There are a lot of other things to talk about in life. Life is not just about social issues. So I salute you for your continued loving relationship with your sister. Again, Finn, 18, Nuremberg, Bavaria, Germany. Hello, Mr. Prager. I love America. While most European countries have chosen lockdowns over freedom and government over the individual, do you see hope for American values outside of America? German politicians, for example, do not care about our Constitution and our God-given rights. I can only imagine what comes next. A social security system to protect the people, a climate lockdown to protect the planet, vaccine mandates to protect our health. Will America soon be the last bastion of freedom, or is there still a path back to liberty for us Europeans? May God bless you and Otto. Oh, he's gone. And the entire team working at PragerU. Thank you for that. Please continue to spread love and the truth. Well, America has been the best hope for a long time. The tragedy today is that America may not be the bastion of liberty that it has been throughout its history. That's the biggest worry in the world to me. Half of America does not cherish liberty. 40% of young people don't believe in free speech. This was a Pew Research poll done a few years ago, and it's worse today. You know what they say? Oh, I believe in free speech, but not for hate speech. But because they went to college, they don't think clearly. And I don't mean that as a cute line. That's usually true. Do you not realize that if you don't believe in free speech for hate speech, you don't believe in free speech? Because what you're saying is you only believe in free speech for what you agree with. Because whatever you don't agree with, you'll just call hate speech and ban. So you don't believe in free speech. Anyway, what do you believe in free speech for? Love speech? Well, that's quite a position. I believe that love should be allowed to be spoken. So if you don't believe in free speech for those you differ with, you don't believe in free speech. That's what's happening in the United States with what's called the cancel culture. Doctors who differ with other doctors about how to treat COVID are banned from the media. There's no free speech for people in the sciences who differ with the reigning orthodoxies of medicine. And it's astonishing. There's no end to the canceling of people with whom people differ. My book is titled on this subject of American values that you're talking about, Finn. My book is titled Still the Best Hope. Why the world should adopt American values, because they're the best values. Specifically, E Pluribus Unum, in God We Trust, and Liberty, the three mottos of America. The first one was basically nationalism, for many one, and In God We Trust and Liberty. By the way, it's very interesting to note that as America gets more secular, it values liberty less. It is not a coincidence. How are we? 29. Oh, well. Better to want you to want more than to want less. So I'll stop here. Again, if you like the Fireside Chats, and I presume you do or you wouldn't be watching, don't forget, there are 201 before this one. And a lot of them are worth watching. And if you are a parent, a lot of them are worth showing to your son or daughter or sons or daughters. And then talking about these things with them. They don't hear this stuff at college. Increasingly, they don't hear this stuff in elementary school or high school either. And that's a problem. So, okay, wonderful to be with you. I will see you next week. I'm Dennis Prager. God bless you. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.